Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hello everybody, welcome to the United Stands. I'm Mark Goldbridge. This is your latest Manchester United news and transfer news as United move on a Chelsea midfielder to solve their midfield crisis. Also, the latest around Baleba, a bit about Alex Scott as well. But let's dive straight into it. I suppose this is the one we all missed. And if you didn't miss it, fair play, because it's the most logical story. We really missed this. I've been talking about Manu Kone. I've been talking about Angelo Stiller. Andre Santos of Chelsea as the panic signing in the midfield makes total and utter sense. Much the same as I was saying Manu Kone was a player that we spoke about last summer, that the club spoke about, they had talks with. Andre Santos, I apologise for missing it. It absolutely is so logical when you think about it, because this is a player that we have been linked to quite a lot over the last season. It's a player that Favel bought when he was at that brief period at Chelsea. He's a young player. He's a player that Chelsea want to sell. And he's a player that we will overpay for. And therefore, I think that this story, which is coming in from, I think it's coming in The Guardian, this lunchtime actually, that Manchester United are targeting Andre Santos, but Chelsea do value him at £50 million. Newcastle are linked with him as well. Chelsea need to sell to help Xabi Alonso rebuild his squad, and Santos would be interested in moving to get more minutes. So essentially, let me know your thoughts. I'll give you mine straight away. I mean, look, this is a player that's going to fit into the budget because he's going to be under £60 million. It's a player that Chelsea want to sell. It's a player that's going to want to come. So, you know, you've got a club wanting to sell. You've got a player that wants to come and he's cheap. So I think that it certainly makes a lot of sense. And it's not a deal that's out of the blue. We have been linked to him quite regularly over the last, I would say, 9 to 6 months. Because Favel really likes him and Favel took him to Chelsea way back when. Instantly reacting to it, what a load of shit signing this would be. And it's not the player's fault. Hopefully it won't happen, but it's not the player's fault because this is just not good enough. I'm sorry, this is just not good enough. You don't go from Anderson, Tonali, Tchouaméni, Fernandez, Scott to a bench player for Chelsea. You just don't. And also, why do Chelsea want to sell him? I mean, Chelsea, you know, we've lost to Tottenham, who were fourth from bottom in a battle for a midfielder that should be wearing a Man United shirt. We're now going to go to another club that's not even in Europe that we're already ahead of and help them out. And you know, I thought we were competing with Arsenal and Man City and Liverpool. We're losing transfer battles to Spurs. And now we're going to help clubs out like Chelsea, who are behind us as well. I mean, we're looking the wrong way, lads. You're looking out the rear-view mirror. We should be looking out in the front. So, no, I don't rate this signing at all. Yes, he's a prospect. Yes, Favel, you know, is a good, you know, scourer of talent. But we're talking about Man United's midfield here. We've already bought Ederson. We do not need another, you know, lower-level midfielder that might work out. The next two midfielders need to be the creme de la creme. They need to be a Casemiro replacement and somebody else like a Matheus Fernandes that's ready to go. Andre Santos is just another Ederson to me. It's just another punt that may or may not work. And I'm sorry, I can't get excited about it. We've already done this signing. We've already bought the player for £30 to £50 million. I mean, it's an Everton signing again, isn't it? Let's get real. This is the sort of deal that I wouldn't be surprised if Everton went and did it. It's just not good enough. And look, it might not end up being true. It's in The Guardian. But logically, it is a player that we've been linked to in the past. He will be cheap. Chelsea do want to sell. It will be a very easy deal for United to do. But how you package this up as exciting, I do not know. I find it very meh. I do. And I'm not saying the player's not bad, but he ain't good either, is he? You know, he's a prospect. It's a let's see how this works. It's a let's bring him into the club and see if he can develop. Well, sorry, we don't. That's not what we're meant to be doing. That's not the brief. The brief is not to go for players that need you know, we don't need a Belabor. We don't need a Santos. We don't need a player that needs a load of development and time. We don't have that club and we don't have that fan base. We have got no patience in this fan base anymore to bring a player in that might or may not be good, but needs time and needs nurturing. We're just not that club. So I think this is desperation. This is exactly what we've been talking about for 48 hours. Where are Man United going to go next? And it's these sort of deals that make you go, yeah, this is what happens when you're in a panic. You start looking through the list of players that you weren't considering buying, but you have looked at in the past, and you start going back to them, which is exactly what we did with Edison. We chose not to sign Edison for 4 years, and now suddenly we're signing him. And if we go in for Santos now, it's like, well, we chose not to sign him before, let's go and sign him. So I'm not excited by this at all. I will run a poll, actually. I should have done that at the start. How much would you value him at, Mark? Well, Chelsea are desperate to sell for a start, aren't they? He's not a starter for Chelsea. They're desperate to sell. We're basically going to help Chelsea. And I don't like this either. This is what we did with Mason Mount. I don't want to give Chelsea £50 million for a player they don't want so they can use £50 million to strengthen themselves against us. I'll never stop understanding that. Why would you give money to a rival so that they can give you a player they don't want and strengthen in an area? You know when you think about it, right? If you're Chelsea, I don't want Santos anymore. Give us £50 million so we can get someone better. Why would you as Man United go, let's take the player that Chelsea don't want so they can upgrade and we'll take him as a key signing? I mean, yeah, it doesn't make any sense at all. Price-wise, I mean, you can't give them more than 40 million. You can't give them more. I don't know what the justification is. How do you give them more than £40 million? He's played 27 games for Chelsea since 2023. Yes, he's been on loan, but no, for me, it's not something worth doing. I don't know what they paid for him. I don't know what Chelsea paid for him. He's only just turned 22. He was 22 in May, but you know what? In fairness to the lad, I could see him in the midfield running around, trying really hard, but not being the finished article. And that's what worries me. My worry is that next season, we've just got a midfield of triers, you know, players that have good moments, but aren't ready. And you're sort of like, oh, here we go. And you can hear the Old Trafford crowd. Oh, he's misplaced a pass again. Oh, it's another yellow card. This does need calling out. Casemiro was right at the end of his career. Absolutely. You know, I'm not saying he could have done another year. He couldn't. But what you had with Casemiro was an experienced player who knew every game like the back of his hand. He knew when to move. He knew when to stay. He knew how to pass. We're going to replace that experience with a player that doesn't know his arse from his elbow, aren't we? You know, we're going to get a player that, one, is going to step into Old Trafford, which is intimidating, and two, isn't actually the finished article. I mean, what are we thinking about as a football club going for these types of players? If we go for these types of players, it's completely and utterly illogical. But I suppose, as I said at the start of the video, I'm not surprised by this. I'm just a little bit pissed off at myself that I didn't figure it out, because he is a player that we've looked at, like Manu Kone. I just hadn't thought about him. But it is a symptom of not being ready now that we haven't got what we got. And I suppose we better get used to this. I suppose this is the era we're in now, isn't it? The Sanderberg, the Santos, the Belabor. This is where we're going to be operating now. We're going to be operating around targets that are just not going to convince the fan base, are they? Because that's the situation we've allowed ourselves to be in. It's not fair on the player that we're looking at, and it's not fair on the fan base. But this is what happens when you've got incompetent people trying to rebuild Manchester United. You end up looking at people like Andre Santos helping Chelsea out. I mean, what is our role anyway in the Premier League at the moment? You know, we back off from Spurs. You can have Tonali and Fernandes. We're potentially going to give Chelsea £50 million for a player they don't want. I mean, what is our role now as a football club in the Premier League? What is it we're trying to achieve in this calm era of not panicking?
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Do you think it's because Sir Jim Ratcliffe is obsessed with Chelsea? I mean, look, I haven't heard anything about that in about 12 months. When we broke that Liam Delap was the priority, I think there was a lot of looking at Chelsea. Obviously, Sir Jim's got used to have a season ticket there. I think we were looking at the Chelsea model and thinking that's what we want to do, buy younger players. But obviously, it's not worked out for Chelsea. But yeah, look, for me, it would be a no. 77% of you are saying no to Andre Santos. The circumstances, I would buy him, just to be fair. If we'd bought Tonali and Matheus Fernandes and we hadn't bought Ederson, I'd buy him as the third midfielder. I'd be happy to do that. If we'd bought Tchouaméni and Scott, I'd be happy to buy him as the third midfielder. Yeah. If we'd bought Anderson and Stiller, I'd be happy to buy him as the third midfielder. But in my opinion, we've already bought our Andre Santos. We bought Ederson. Yeah, that's his level. He is not a second-tier midfielder and he is not a first-tier midfielder. So if we're going to buy Santos to add to Ederson, I think it's shocking, if I'm being honest. Megas says, I cannot take this. Growing up as a kid, I never thought I'd live to see the day where Liverpool and City become more relevant than us. This transfer season is a bunch of broken promises. Thank you, Megas, and thanks for your super chat. Ederson, Baleba and Santos. That midfield is not even mid-table, says Emily. Suddenly, Ederson looks like the star midfielder. We have got an update on Baleba. I'll bring that in a minute. So Man United signed Santos and Chelsea signed Tchouaméni. I can see this happening, says Jack. I hadn't thought of it like that. Yeah, but it's a fair point from Jack. Who are we funding? Who are we funding Chelsea for if we give them £40-50 million for Santos? Who are we actually going to fund Chelsea's ambition? You know, we don't want this player. Will you give us 40 million? Yeah, thank you. Now we can go and buy a player that you should have bought in the first place. Midri says, afternoon, Mark. I cannot see Carrick lasting beyond January with these players not good enough. Carrick needs ready-to-go players. What a joke. I actually read something today about a penny for the thoughts of Bruno Fernandes. You know, looking at people like Matheus Fernandes, who will know about being Portuguese, seeing him going to Spurs, seeing the lack of activity in the midfield. He's not in a great position with Portugal at the moment. You just wonder what Bruno Fernandes is thinking. I don't think he's thinking about leaving. I don't think there's a pathway out, but he might be looking at next summer and thinking this is my last season at Man United, because it's hard to see how we're going to provide a platform for Bruno to compete for the Champions League or the Premier League anytime soon, is it? Baleba, Markey, two random 20-somethings and two youth promotions in pre-season. I called it 4 months ago, says Nick P. Got endless hate for it as well. Sarath says, Mark, if we are clever enough, we can get Turam and Kone for a combined fee of 100 to 110 million, which instantly improves us. Thank you very much, Sarath. This is on Favel, says Robert McCormack. I think if we did go for Santos, it would be somebody that would be somebody that Favel wants, I think, to be fair. Malpa says, Mark, we funded PSG for João Neves. We got Ugarte. Yep. And United should sign Papi Sarr or Bentancur, says Arjen. We should go and fund Spurs as well. And Ad says, at this point, a Scott and Wharton pivot equals miracle. Says Ad. I don't know why people are going back in on Wharton. I don't mind Wharton, but I don't see him as the saviour of Man United's midfield. I've got to be honest. I think Wharton's a decent midfielder, but I don't know why he's suddenly seen as the saviour. Although, to be fair, I don't know who the saviour is now, because we haven't got Anderson, we haven't got Tonali, we're not going to get Bruno Guimaraes, and Tchouaméni looks extremely unlikely, re our update on Thursday night. So I don't know whether you were in this situation or not, but I'm in this situation now where I don't even know what I would do if I was asked for my opinion to solve Man United's midfield problem from today. I think we might have shit the bed on this, in the sense that it's already too messy. I think we might have already missed what we needed to go and get. You could buy a Kone, you could buy a Wharton, You could buy a Stiller, but even I would concede they are not the level that we needed to sign. Like, we had to sign a marquee signing to replace Casemiro because his worth and value in the team demanded it. We will not do that now. Whoever we bring in, I think, is technically going to be a prospect in some way, shape or form. And that worries me. What is the point of buying young players with sell-on value, says Emily, when the reason we buy them disappears as they flounder? It's such a waste. Well, we haven't, exactly, Emily, we haven't actually developed anybody for a very long time. We haven't. I can't remember a signing that we bought in and developed. I mean, hopefully Dorgu and Sesko are on the pathway to being developed, but they're not there yet, are they? Dorgu's been here for 18 months. Sesko's been here for a season. And, you know, that sort of confirms my fear. Maybe Sesko and Dorgu will be good signings that we develop, but it doesn't happen overnight. It takes time. Well, even if we bring a midfielder in that can be developed, it's going to take 1-2 years for it. We can't afford that this season. We need to be ready to go. Santos had a good season last year, but he's not a United starter and the whole deal stinks of desperation, says Just Some Tall Guy. And Simon says, Hi Mark, hope you know how much Tchouaméni to me. Okay. And Dino, thank you very much for your super chat. I hope you're doing well. He says, if United stick to this low-level ambition for the midfield, unfortunately, United are going to struggle in the Champions League and the first person to be blamed will be Michael Carrick. Absolutely. Absolutely. The blame will start there. More news for you as well. Let me talk to you about another bit of news coming in as well. Where was it here? It was from Ben Jacobs, basically saying that Manchester United did agree personal terms with Baleba last summer. A move this summer will depend on whether United decide to revive their interest and are willing to meet Brighton's asking price. The reason I bring that back in is that I don't think anybody can be off the table at the moment. When you're putting people like Santos on the table, who is a Chelsea bench player that they want to sell, if you're putting him on the table, and remember as well, let's just remind ourselves here. So this shelf here, that's your third level midfielder. That's your bottom level midfielder. That's Ederson, yeah? So Ederson's there for 40 million. And we're okay with that, yeah? This is your second tier midfielder. This is your marquee signing. So on these shelves, you should be looking at Matheus Fernandes, Alex Scott, Adam Wharton, and then Anderson, Tchouaméni, Tonali, yeah? That's what we should be looking at here, right? Ederson's here, and then you've got your Matheus Fernandes-type player. Your good player who's a prospect, your Alex Scott. And then you've got your marquee who's ready to go, your Tchouaméni, yeah? Your Tonali. We are now putting people like Andre Santos and Carlos Baleba here. You know, we're putting them in the marquee area. Or we're putting them in the ready-to-go young prospect. They are neither of that. They should be there. If you want Baleba and if you want Andre Santos, they come in here where Ederson is. Well, we've already done that. So you're actually putting them in here. Baleba or Santos in here. It's wrong. It's a clear indicator of a major issue. You know, I don't think Andre Santos is horrific. I don't even think Baleba's totally horrific. But if you were buying them, you'd put them on the bottom shelf. You'd go, they're worth it as a tier three, as long as I've got two good midfielders there. The evidence of the, you know, collapse of this transfer strategy from Man United is that we're now putting in those bottom tier prospects into second and first. And that, you know, that's a very good point. I don't dislike some of these players that we're being linked to. It's just where we're putting them in at. A couple of people saying Santos is a very good player. We've had this from Mub. Yeah. Okay. So if Santos is such a good player, mate, two things for you, yeah? If he's such a good player, why doesn't he start for Chelsea? Yeah? Second of all, if he's such a good player, why didn't Spurs want him? Why don't Arsenal want him? Why don't Liverpool want him? Why don't PSG want him? Why doesn't anybody else want him apart from Man United and Newcastle? So if he's such a good player, why is the competition Newcastle? Because he isn't, is he? is an Edison-level player, is a prospect, is a £40 million player. We don't need that type of player. That's my point. No one's saying he's fucking useless. What we're saying is he would come in at the third tier. We've already done that with Edison. It's the wrong type of player. As for Belaiba, look, a lot of people say all roads lead to Belaiba, and I'm surprised we haven't had Keel Robinson in yet. The thing that might be the saviour with Belaiba is that Brighton hopefully will behave like they always have done and say, if United come knocking at the door, it's 70 million starting point. They may even go higher. And at that point, United have to walk away. So unless Brighton say, we're happy to take 50, I think we're priced out of Belaiba. And that's my backstop. That's my get out of jail card. I think Brighton will save us from Belaiba because personal terms aren't a problem. He's begging it. He's desperate to come to United. Absolutely. We know that. Bloody hell. Both match days last season, he's there, you know, on Instagram. So he's desperate to come to United. United are stupid enough to do it. Personal terms are easy. But I think Brighton might save us by putting the price too high for us. I mean, if they knock it down below 60, we might be in trouble. Robert McCormack says all roads lead to Wharton. I mean, Wharton, honestly, Robert, I would take Wharton over Belaiba every day of the week because he's homegrown. He's better. But what I will say is Wharton's the same as Scott. There is a contract there that makes Palace and Bournemouth very, very strong, and they will demand £80 million. I mean, has anybody actually thought about this? If United, and there is this rumour going round, right? And it's not worth mentioning who's saying it because people will just go, what a load of bollocks. But there is a rumour going round the industry, I suppose, that Man United will start talks this week with Bournemouth. They're not working weekends at the moment. Have you noticed that? Nothing happens at the weekend with United again. But you know what? In fairness to United, when you sack half your workforce, you probably are going to say, take weekends off. We can't afford to pay the overtime. So the talk is that we will begin talks with Bournemouth this week. Right. How do we afford Wharton or Scott? Hello, is that Bournemouth? Yes, we're interested in Scott. Fine, the price is £80 million or you can piss off. It will be £80 million. And the same with Crystal Palace. Wharton, £80 million. Because they're both going to go, you know the difference between Matheus Fernandes and you know what the difference is between Matheus Fernandes and Alex Scott? Yeah, nothing. There is no difference. In fact, one of them's got a British passport. You know what the difference is between Matheus Fernandes and Adam Wharton? Yeah, nothing. There's no difference in our eye, and he's British. So £80 million starting price, please. I can't see how either player is less than £80 million. And I cannot deal with people going, well, I think he's worth 60. Yeah, I thought Matheus Fernandes was worth 60. Didn't work out that way, did it? So because we're operating late in this window, we are adding 10 to 20 million pounds onto every player that we go for. King Black says, what about João Gomes? I mean, again, you're getting me up here. I need the exercise, right? Start of the transfer window. I really, really, really want my top tier marquee signing to be Tonali. I really want my mid tier signing to be Matheus Fernandes or Alex Scott. And I'd love someone like a João Gomes. Yeah, we were all saying that. We literally were all saying that. João Gomes down here, I'm happy with that. I'd probably take João Gomes over Edison, actually. I'm really happy with João Gomes there if I'm getting Alex Scott and Tchouaméni here. But I've already got Edison. João Gomes there? No. No. And this is the problem. The players we're being linked to now are players that should be where Edison is, but we've already got Edison. There's loads of players we can go for as tier three, but that's not what we need. We need the tier two in the marquee signing. And I don't put João Gomes. I mean, if we buy João Gomes and Edison, we're basically buying the same player. I mean, they are the same player that Ancelotti looks at as his bench midfielder. Like, that's not good enough. And to be honest, Santos is probably the same. There's another person saying Santos is class. I can't control the comments. There is no IQ test to come in, but I tell you what, seeing the word Santos's class for the first time in a year is quite quite scary, because I've never heard any of you say that Santos is class before. In fact, Andre Santos is class, I've never heard at all. So maybe it's Chelsea fans infiltrating us, trying to make us want him, but 75% of you don't want him. So United need to flush it down the toilet very quickly, because it's definitely not the sort of signing that's going to excite this fan base. Chris says, would I spend 150 to 160 on Scott and Tchouaméni? Yes. Be bullish and stop asking for players to say they want United. Cowards, big up Mark and the United Stand legends. Thank you very much, Chris. They must be Chelsea fans, says Stephen. Yeah, I've never heard anybody say it before. I'd much rather pay 80 million for him than Scott or Fernandez, says Robert McCormack about Adam Wharton. Patrick Lynch says, with these targets, I don't know what they even solve with regard to our midfield issues. None are technically amazing or overly physical and seem to have experience. So what are we actually trying to get? Also, Patrick, what does it do for Kobbie Mainoo? Like, if Kobbie Mainoo plays with Casemiro, he's benefiting every week in training and on the pitch from playing with an experienced player. If Kobbie Mainoo is playing with Tonali or Tchouaméni, he's going to benefit every day from playing with an experienced player next to him on the pitch. You put Kobbie Mainoo with Andre Santos, or you put Kobbie Mainoo with Belaiba. The fuck is... how is that helping Mainoo? Mainoo's only just, what, 21 anyway? How is that helping Mainoo develop by sticking him with another kid? And have we actually thought this through at all? Mainoo's a really important player for us, and we're going to stick him next to a prospect.
Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Mainoo needs nurturing. Like, Mainoo needs an experienced player next to him to nurture him so he can learn the game. Who's teaching Mainoo how to be a midfielder if it's going to be a kid next to him? Who in that football club knows how to play centre midfield in the modern game? And don't talk to me about Michael Carrick. Michael Carrick hasn't played football at the highest level for a decade. It's very different being able to coach a role and play a role. And it's very different to being net. I mean, Michael Carrick can't run around next to Mainoo for 90 minutes saying, Mainoo, get in position here. Hold the position. Make the run. This is such a priority that we seem to be missing now. Is there a player out there that can come in and replace Casemiro's experience or get anywhere near it? Well, there is. His name's Bruno Guimarães, but we seem to want to ignore that. There was, his name was Tonali. There is, his name is Tchouaméni. There are three or four options out there that you can stick next to Mainoo and help develop him, but we seem to be completely missing that. There is a guy who is very important to us called Kobbie Mainoo, and we do not seem to be understanding that he is a prospect himself. Why would you put him with another prospect in front of a back four as well? Not a three. JMR says, I don't think United would walk away from Belaiba. They've been embarrassed too much already. The board don't have any pressure from the manager to buy players now, says Simon. And Daniel Thompson, thank you very much for your super chat. He says, hope everyone's well. Seb had a good game today. Yeah, they drew 3-3 with a last-minute equaliser, actually. It was a good game. We need experience and top quality for the most key part on the pitch. And going for youth puts pressure on the player, team, Mainoo and Carrick, and helps our rivals even more. Brilliant. Absolutely well-timed, Daniel, as well. Literally was just talking about that. Inexperienced manager, inexperienced Mainoo, and then inexperienced signing. I mean, I'm sorry, it's just not going to work, is it? It's never worked. It won't work. You have to buy somebody with some experience. Paul says, so this season we had Mainoo and Casemiro. This season we could be looking at Scott, Mainoo, Belaiba, Edison and Bouadi. Yeah, they're all inexperienced though, mate. I can almost hear the board now. Who's that lad in the youth that they're all going crazy about? Let's promote him at the end of the window when they all lose hope. Get some gym shots of him out there as well. Arj says, I think the best United can do right now is sign Sanderberg and Belaiba. Fucking hell. And unfortunately, Edison is our Casemiro replacement, says Andy Atherton. Thank you very much for that. Wharton, not saviour, but would bite your hand off for him at this point. I see him as between shelf one and two, and we can't trust the owners to get shelf one, says Ad. Look, there's a lot of love for Wharton.
There's a lot of love for Wharton in the chat. Remember, though, if we do move for Wharton, and I've heard nothing that we will, if we do move for Wharton, the club would have to change its stance. And we seem to be very stubborn on not changing our stance. And what I mean by that is, look at what happened with walking away from Mateus Fernandes, walking away from other players. But more importantly, we briefed, not us, the United briefed many journalists many times in April and May that Adam Wharton was too similar to Maynou. Remember that? Because I remember doing a video and we were talking about it. And numerous Man United journalists were going, Man United see Wharton as too similar to Maynou, which I find hilarious because you could argue that Mateus Fernandes is too similar to Maynou. You could argue that Anderson would be too similar to Maynou. So we seem to brief against going for Wharton to kill that off. I do not think Wharton is too similar to Maynou, by the way, but the club seemed to kill that deal. So we'll have to wait and see. Emily Derry says, if we must sign the obligatory Chelsea player, I'd rather have Labia. He may be injury prone, but he's done well starting in a Premier League midfield. Just cough up Ineos for something decent. I mean, Emily, I find myself agreeing with you a lot, but I'd never thought about Labia. I'd never go near Labia because he's injury prone, but he is better than Santos. I've seen Santos play a few times. I'd call him a steady Eddie. I certainly don't think he's the next Casemiro or the next Declan Rice. And that's why nobody wants him apart from us and Chelsea. Lee Berman says, the window has been rife with midfielders. It's rare to have a window full of players we actually need, and we've left our window firmly closed so far. Scott and Hall will be homegrowns and we can splash cash on them. Next year, Maguire and Shaw move out. Gonna hoard us, says Ashim. And done that one, thank you very much. I think the real signings will be Belaba and Kone, says Ad Hawk. And OJ says that all roads lead to where do United turn after eighth place finish leaves them with no Europe. Talks with Glasner to start over coming weeks. Carrick dream is officially over. Romano, April 27. Emily Derry says, sitting on Brighton and Chelsea's bench is not Premier League experience, by the way. You'd be as well going to the Bundesliga or La Liga and getting the likes of Stiller or Enmecha or Barrios, says Emily. Yeah, I mean, look, I sort of said this when we missed out on Mateus Fernandes. Where Man United go next depends on how anal they want to be about their stubborn parameters. Like, are they going to stick to under 26? Are they going to stick to Premier League proven? The next two signings really, logically, will both be Premier League proven because we've already bought the non-Premier League player in Edison. But as I said, when the Mateus Fernandes deal fell apart, we don't want to pay money at the moment. We don't want to overpay, which I think is bollocks. I think that's just the market. But the best place to go to get decent players is Europe now. Tonali, Premier League gone. Mateus Fernandes, Premier League gone. Anderson, Premier League gone. Bruno Guimaraes, Premier League, we're not going to go for. Tchouaméni isn't in the Premier League, but he's an A-star signing. Looks like that's gone. You're now looking at Andre Santos and Belaba, who are Premier League players, but like Emily said, they're not Premier League proven. They spend more time sat on their arse on the bench than they do playing in the midfield in the Premier League. So Adam Wharton, Alex Scott will be very expensive. You're going to pay over £80 million for them. So the real value in the market is to go for players that are as good as a Mateus Fernandes or a Tonali on paper, but play outside of the Premier League, so the price will come down. So someone like Enmecha was a player that Real Madrid were looking at a couple of weeks ago. He would probably be the value in the market, even though he probably still costs £70 million. I still think there's a good value with him. That's where I would go if I was United. Manu Kone is an interesting player that will cost less than £60 million. So that's where I would go. I would be going at the Enmechas, the Manu Kones, maybe even the Stillers. I would be going for them because they will be cheaper and are as good, if not better, than the likes of Wharton, Scott, Santos, Belaba. But it depends whether we'll back away from our own stubbornness of we want to buy Premier League proven. It's going to be very difficult to buy Premier League proven cheap who are as good as Tonali now. You're not, I don't know. Is there anybody in the Premier League that is as good as Tonali who is Premier League proven and cheap? And I don't think there is. I don't think there is. So I think you've got to look outside. But United seem to want Premier League proven. So we're almost, you know, closing the door ourselves. Thomas says, McFred and Amrabat were better midfielders than Edison and Belaba and Santos. Still would sign Ruben Neves as top tier midfielder, 25 million in the transfer market. And the only way for United to get tier one or tier two is Europe, says Newman. Again, very, very well timed, exactly what I was just saying. Mohack says, it shows the importance of a charismatic manager. Players were willing to join Amrim, but not Carrick. De Zerbi shows this. I'd take Enzo Fernandez now. I mean, we can't do anything about that. I mean, it's not really... I haven't really spoken about this a lot because what can we do? You know, the conversation about the manager is over. I mean, it's not over if you want to bring it in like Mo has. But for me, I can't sit here and go, this is why we shouldn't have got Carrick, you know, because we had that conversation. I told you why I wouldn't have gone for Carrick. And one of the reasons was this. We're living the reality of it. He's inexperienced. He doesn't have the pull. You know, the last few days is full of Tonali and Mateus Fernandez being convinced by De Zerbi's passion and project. I mean, it must be a hell of a convincing story because Spurs can't sell that story, can they? Come to Spurs and finish fourth from bottom. You know, De Zerbi's done a great job there to get two very good players to buy in. But that's not really Carrick's fault. That's Wilcox's fault. That's Berarda's fault, you know. If they'd brought in a charismatic manager, it would have made their job easier. Jason Wilcox can, you know, negotiate with West Ham, etc., but they still want to talk to the manager. Imagine that. You're trying to get somebody to come and work for your business. You show them around. You're very charismatic. Now meet the boss. They walk out and they go, "I'm not working here." Why not? It's boring, you know. So ultimately, we are where we are. And I'm not going to blame Carrick for his not having signings, but we know Amrim got Cunha and Mbeumo, and we know that De Zerbi got Tonali and Fernandez, and it can have a big difference. Chris Penny said, would I spend 150 to 160 on Scott and Tchouaméni? Yes, I've done that one, haven't I? And United are forgetting that with Chelsea and Spurs spending big, we may not get fourth place. Not a single brain cell in the board, just pure vibes. Well, that's what I mean, OJ. Spurs aren't in the top five conversation with Liverpool, Us, Villa, Man City and Arsenal, are they? That was the top five. Spurs have now gone and bought two brilliant midfielders. So they maybe infiltrate the top five. Oh, let's go and, you know, Spurs are back to compete for top five. I tell you what, let's go and give Chelsea £50 million for a player they don't want so they can improve their midfield as well. Maybe they can finish above us as well. It's just stupid. People are missing the fact that we need two sixers. Maino and Edison are both eights. This is Perry. Are you excited about JJ Gabriel? I mean, I am, Michael, but is that spin? Are you a Glazer bot trying to get us to think about a kid that might play a few minutes at some point next season? I mean, I am excited about JJ Gabriel getting a chance to show us what he's all about. But why are we talking about that in a summer transfer window? Can he play centre midfield? Is he an experienced Casemiro replacement? No, he's not. United have pulled out more than Bonnie Blue, says Simon. And do you think Carrick should have a system of a midfield pivot and not need a Casemiro replacement, says Dirty Deeds? I don't know. Still need to buy midfielders, mate. Love Hate Games says, if we didn't get Champions League, we couldn't get Gyökeres, they said. So what's the reason now? Hypocrites, says Love Hate Games. And I think the real signings will be Belaba and Kone. Okay. Great show. Sorry it was a little bit late for a morning show, but... that'll do for now. Thank you so much for watching. Make sure you smash a like on the video. Get your comments in if you didn't watch live. We have an 8 o'clock show tonight because 8 o'clock tonight, United stand. 9 o'clock, Norway, Brazil. 1 a.m., it's coming home, England, Mexico. I'll speak to you all in a bit. Take care.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.